The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement says Saudi Arabia has failed to achieve its objectives in its deadly war on Yemen, despite support from the U.S. and its other allies. In a televised speech, Abdul Malik al-Houthi said the Saudi regime, backed by Washington and Tel Aviv, continues its crimes and oppression against Yemeni people. He accused the United States, Britain, and the Israeli regime of being behind the Yemen war scenario. Houthi noted that the Saudi aggression is aimed at dividing the Yemeni nation and ruling them, as well as occupying the country and stealing its oil resources. Marking the fourth anniversary of the start of Riyadh's onslaught, the Ansarullah leader hailed the Yemeni people's resistance against Saudi-led aggressors. To discuss that further, we're joined by Mr. Lawrence Davidson, lecturer from Westchester University, and also Mr. Saeb Shath, author and Middle East affairs expert. Thank you very much to both of you gentlemen for joining us on this edition of the News Review. Let's start with Mr. Lawrence Davidson. Mr. Davidson, it is the anniversary of the Saudi-led war on Yemen. Why do you think it took so long? Did the Saudis actually expect it to take so long?
Oh, probably not. They probably looked across the border and saw, at least in their eyes, a rather primitive tribal network, and they thought a mechanized invasion involved with the command of the air would take care of it in short order. This is the same mistake that the Russians made in Afghanistan and that the United States repeated again in Afghanistan, as well as prior to that in Vietnam. If you've got a group of people who are determined to resist, unless you go in and occupy that country foot by foot, you know, square meter by square meter, it's going to be very, very difficult to win that war. But the Saudis, just like the Americans, did not predict that and did not take the lessons of the past and got stuck.
So let's turn to Mr. Saeb Shath. Why do you think the Saudis launched this war in the first place? Was it just MBS because he took power and he wanted to show himself off as a strong man? Or what was he seeking, basically, to start this war?
You're right spotting this major point, the change between King Abdullah and King Suleiman, the father of the MBS, who wanted to show more muscles. We know the role of King Abdullah in financing all the groups who were involved with Afghanistan, take it from Al-Qaeda to the rest. But Saudi Arabia all along considered Yemen as its own backyard, and it falls within its sphere of influence. Then the Houthis and the revolutionary committees at the time ousted Hadi, and precisely because of that, Hadi was acting according to instructions from Saudi Arabia or the Americans' embassy. So the Saudis they want to lose this vital, strategic, important land. Since Yemen, it's controlled, Bab al-Mandab controlled 40% of the trade of international energy goes through Yemen and the Red Sea, the Mediterranean, then Europe. And as well, they thinking of Hadramaut as a territory for them to annex it to Saudi Arabia. So if in the future, if the Saudis and the Americans decided to make the Strait of Hormuz, which falls in Iranian waters, ideal, useless, then they have to resort to this piece of land in Yemen, Hadramaut, and bring oil pipelines and gas lines through a peninsula, Arabian Peninsula, to the Arabian Sea and then shipped it there. This is part of the plan was against the suffocating or strangling the Iranian economy as well. And as well, the Saudis, when they gathered their alliance and they bought a lot of corrupted governments in the region who needed a lot of cash and sent soldiers and allied themselves to the Saudis, backed by the West, backed by the United States of America, mercenaries trade in the Negev desert of Palestine by the Israelis, the blockade and the sanctions imposed in Yemen, organized by Israeli generals. All of that, the West and Israel and the United States of America involved. We can see in the skies the Americans refueling the Saudis' made American fighter jets while they attack in Yemen. And they given them the coordinates, which the Americans say precise coordinates, which results in killing children and destroying schools and markets. So the Saudis wanted to do that for as well as the reasons we said, and as well to destroy this country, to make sure this revolutionary movement who wanted to gain sovereign in Yemen cannot put hands on the resources of Yemen and keep Yemen deprived, underdeveloped, and will never Yemen be stand a chance to represent as an example for the people of Arabia and give them to be independent, to follow the Yemeni example. And the same thing, the Emiratis have the same interest. The Emiratis wanted to destroy the South, will make sure Aden and any ports in the South of Yemen will never compete with Dubai Ports Authority. And that's why we'll see their control in the South of Yemen is mainly by the Dubai Ports Authorities and the mercenaries.
Thank you very much. Now back to Mr. Lawrence Davidson. It was quite interesting, the analysis that we heard from Mr. Schaaf. But Mr. Davidson, how does this play out in what Mr. Al-Houthi has said? He has claimed that the United States, Britain, and the Israeli regime are behind the Yemeni war scenario. And, well, by now it has become very clear that countries like the United States and Britain, for them, this is far beyond than a simple opportunity to sell their weapons and the way Mr. Donald Trump prefers to portray it as creating more jobs in their countries. This is something that goes far beyond that.
Well, it does go beyond it. How far beyond it, I don't know. I think this was a war of opportunity presented by the Saudis to their allies. And that in some sense, the allies, the British and the Americans particularly felt obligated to support the Saudis and did so rather unthinkingly. They too probably expected a very short war. And they certainly didn't expect eventual public opposition to it, as we've seen recently in Congress. So I'm not exactly sure how strategic the Americans particularly view Yemen geostrategically. I'm not sure they're that smart, actually. I think that they sort of fell into it following the Saudi lead. Now the Israelis just like to stir up trouble, and they also like diversions. I mean, the Israelis are in the midst and have been in the midst for decades of destroying an entire people. The Palestinians, they've reduced Gaza to a sort of a ghetto. And and anything that can be distract public opinion away from them and that what they're doing is fine with them. And so Yemen and even Iran is a distraction from what they're doing. And they'll push that. That's how I see it.
And if you could please quickly and just less than 1 minute tell us what do you think the role of the oil resources in Yemen plays in all this? Is that a factor that we should count on? Then I will direct the same question to Mr. Shaath to explain more on that.
Well, I don't think the oil resources in Yemen are strategically important, though the straits, the water routes in and in the area are in fact strategically important. So you might have to make that kind of distinction.
Thank you very much. Now let's turn to Mr. Shaath. If you could please wrap this up in less than 2-3 minutes, please, Mr. Shaath. What do you think the oil resources of Yemen play? What kind of role do they play in this whole scenario?
First of all, I want to differ with Mr. Davidson on the last point about the interests of the United States in Yemen. The interest has begun in the 60s, not even in today. From 1962, when they backed with the British, the Saudis, on the war against the revolutionaries in Yemen, and it's still ongoing today. The Israelis as well, they were involved from 1962, and these, a lot of them was of Israeli generals and British generals bragging about their role in the, they call it the unknown war or the secret war in Yemen. The Americans' interest in that, if you can see the Horn of Africa up to the Red Sea, it's like a hornet's nest in there with bases for the Chinese, the Emiratis, the Americans, the Israelis, the Turks, the Japanese actually now, and everybody want to be. Djibouti is a huge position which the Americans occupy. All of that is for them. They're learning from the British lesson when they used to control the Port of Aden, to run the British Empire from Sydney in Australia to Mumbai in India. That's all run from the third busiest port in the world at the time was Aden, Eden. And that's why I said the Emirates do want to see that service again and become in a competition with their ports and their dominance in the area. The other point about the oil industry. We noticed the Saudis imposed sanctions against the oil companies who were working in Yemen or trying to excavate or to uprise any oil fields in Yemen. And that's because they don't want to see that these oil resources being used, because the revolutionaries and the north of Yemen, they tried to use these resources to develop the country. They don't want to see Yemen develop. They wanted always the people of Arabia to look at Yemen as poor, impoverished country, which they can give it handouts to its corrupt leaders to survive, or to the tribal sheikhs. And this is what the Saudis is. They don't want anyone to touch the resources of oil in Yemen. Yemen is full with oil resources which untapped to. And that's why the Saudis and the Emiratis as well want that. They want to put their own puppets in power so they can make their plan, push their plans in action.
Thank you very much, Mr. Saab Shaath, author and Middle East affairs expert, and Mr. Lawrence Davidson, lecturer at Westchester University. Thank you very much to both of you gentlemen for your elaborations. I wish we had more time to discuss this further. It's definitely something that we need to discuss more. And thank you to all of our viewers for following this edition of the News Review with us.